Today's Issues continues on AFR.
And as the announcer said, it does continue for this Monday edition. Fred Jackson in for Tim today, and with me in studio is Steve Jordahl and Chris Woodward. And yes, we're all from the American Family News Service. We're calling it the News Coup.
That's right.
The regular team is all away. A lot of folks traveling this week, and we wish them safe travels. Certainly, that's for sure. Tim is on one of his Washington, D.C. sightseeing tours. And want to remind you, if you're not near a radio, there are other ways, Brent, that folks can tune into us.
Yes, if they want to watch us, they can go to YouTube or Facebook and just type in Today's Issues, and they will see the live video streaming, or they can download the podcast at AFR.net.
All right. Well, thank you very much. That's many ways to view and also listen to our program. And we welcome each and every one of you. It's amazing to me, the technology today, the advancements in technology, and I'm going to age myself drastically here, started out in local radio, you know, when where the beam could reach.
I remember cutting up tape with razor blades and China markers.
Yes, and young men like Chris just don't understand that at all.
I've heard about that.
Razor blades and little tape and... Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Actually, though, I will say that I think I was among the last batch of students at my alma mater that actually learned how to edit tape to tape. So I do have that on my resume.
Oh, a little bit like that, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, right up there. We were talking about this. We're going to go down the road here a little bit on how things in the communication world have changed. But was one of you guys telling me vinyl records are making a comeback?
Oh, that was me. Yeah.
Yeah, they're making a comeback.
Mm-hmm.
In my early DJ days. Now, Chris, have you ever heard of a 45?
Yes.
I'm not talking about a gun. Yeah, I'm not talking about a gun.
Yeah, I know. I've heard about it.
And DJ days, you know, the turntable was there, and you did a quarter turn back so that you didn't get a wow when you started the record.
Now, you have to tell us, did you have like a DJ name?
Did I have? No.
Crazy Canadian, something
that. No. It was just Fred Jackson, you know, and used to work there in the summertime between university years, and that's how I got my start. And I always tell folks, too, you know, most of our shows today are an hour, hour and a half max, like this one's an hour and a half. We did 6 hour shifts on the air, 6 hours live. And some people may say, well, what do you do when you had to use the washroom? Then you played Hey Jude.
Yeah.
Right?
Hey Jude. Roughly 7 minutes long. Thank God for Hey Jude.
Right. Now, the 45 was the shorter of the record, right? It was like one or two singles at most?
Well, there was a single song on one side.
And you did 6 hours of that?
6 hours of that. Most of the songs, 2.5 minutes, roughly.
Wow.
And sometimes you did album cuts. I remember playing, getting a full album out, but you'd always have to start the turntable and hold the record still on the turntable and then finally let it go after you back it up.
The record sales story we were talking about, CNN had this. I'm sure other people have picked up on it as well, but vinyl record sales surpassed CDs for the first time since the 1980s.
Wow. And I wonder why that is. Is it people just spending more time inside or...
Well, I can tell you that amongst like millennials and the next generation, Gen Z, some of them like to, and you guys are going to laugh at this, but I've seen people quoted as saying as much. They like the nostalgia that comes with listening to vinyl. Some people like hearing the crispy poppy noise that you get when you put on a record. The people that DJ, some of them use turntables and they like to do what's called mashups. Where they can do some record spinning and combine songs, kind of merge songs together, things like that, using records.
You talk about coming full circle things, you know.
Also, I think that the rise of digital music, where you download everything anyway. CDs, I'm sure CDs are not selling near what they used to.
I couldn't tell you the last time I bought a CD.
Right.
Yeah.
Or where you'd play it if you did.
That's true.
That's right. That's right. No, I am told that there are people that go like to yard sales and looking for turntables, and they are looking for old vinyl records that they're becoming collectibles again. So there you have it. Yeah, DJ days. Yeah. Lots to talk about.
We'll take requests later this hour.
That's right. That's right. Hey, listen, I mentioned just before the news break, Chris, that there has been a victory for Chick-fil-A at the San Antonio Airport. Tell us what that's all about.
Yeah, Chick-fil-A is being offered a lease at the San Antonio International Airport after the city decided to ban Chick-fil-A from opening there last year. Some people on the San Antonio City Council were in charge of deciding which restaurants were going to be located inside the food court of the airport, if you will. And some of the city councilors realized that Chick-fil-A had been donating to groups including the Salvation Army and the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, of all people, right? And so they raised an issue because some people are of the opinion that FCA and Salvation Army are haters. They have traditional marriage viewpoints and things of that nature, and they didn't like somebody donating money to those organizations and having a property there in the food court of the airport. So the city council got enough votes to say, no, Chick-fil-A, we're not going to allow you to open up an establishment there in the airport after, by the way, they had already given preliminary approval over this. And as you might expect, a lot of people were upset about this. The Texas Attorney General got heavily involved. First Liberty Institute there, one of the many religious liberty law firms based in Texas, they got involved. And today on Fox and Friends, we had Governor Greg Abbott of Texas responding to this situation on Fox and Friends clip 4.
This was a part of our last legislative session. We had what we call the Chick-fil-A bill. It was a bill to ensure that cities and businesses would not be discriminated against because of the religious beliefs of the owners of those businesses, which we believe was behind the act by the city of San Antonio to prohibit Chick-fil-A from having one of their locations in a San Antonio airport, despite the fact that it's like one of the favorite restaurants in the state of Texas. And so we had all these images and all this signing pompous circumstance about signing the Chick-fil-A bill last session. It's great to finally see this come to fruition so that people will not be discriminated against simply because of the religious beliefs they hold.
Now, it wasn't just San Antonio. Buffalo went this route, and Miami looked into doing it. You had some people out west, I believe, in California, maybe L.A. specifically, that were trying to keep Chick-fil-A from opening new establishments in an airport or something of that nature. So we could see similar situations or updates to this story in other parts of the country.
Steve, let me make a prediction.
Okay.
All right.
I'm writing it down.
I believe that the Chick-fil-A outlet at the San Antonio Airport will be one of the most popular restaurants in that airport.
It's not exactly going on a limb. They kind of are the most popular wherever they go. But yeah, I probably...
Isn't it amazing? I think, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, was it Rahm Emanuel when he was mayor of Chicago? He said, Chick-fil-A is not coming to my town as long as I'm mayor.
Chicago actually has been in Chick-fil-A has been in Chicago for a while. My son, back in 2016, when he graduated from high school, he moved to Chicago. He was working at the Chick-fil-A in Colorado Springs and got a job at the Chick-fil-A in downtown Chicago. So they've been there. They're not welcome, but they've been there.
I think there was a fuss, in New York, wasn't it, when they first opened up there?
Yeah. The New Yorker tried to do what is, without a doubt, a hit piece on Chick-fil-A. It was, the headline was about Chick-fil-A's creepy infiltration into New York City. But here's where the author of that article kind of destroyed his own argument. That author of that article in New Yorker went on to share an estimate from somebody at a Manhattan location of Chick-fil-A, and he quoted that individual as saying, "We estimate selling a chicken sandwich every 6 seconds." Now, obviously, New York City is not full of conservatives, which means liberals eat Chick-fil-A too. And if they're selling a Chick-fil-A sandwich every 6 seconds in the Big Apple, liberals are eating a lot at Chick-fil-A.
I remember that time when the New York controversy about Chick-fil-A was in play. Todd Starnes was still living in New York, and I think it was very near the Fox studios.
Yeah, I think it's like within walking distance.
He used to talk about, well, when I get off my show, that's where I'm going, down to get my Chick-fil-A sandwich.
You scared me a little bit when you said Todd Starnes still living in New York.
In New York.
He lives in a different part of the country now.
Oh, he's alive and well, Todd Starnes, believe me. All right, Steve, what you got next?
Hey, I wanted to take a look a little bit about the campaign and how things are going with President Biden. President Biden. Did I just say that out loud?
You did.
Vice President.
Your last day was famous,
wasn't it? So his supporters have been out and about trying to, rarely, but they have been appearing a little bit on the media. I wanted to play you a little bit of the conversation between spokesperson T.J. Ducklow, who's a campaign spokesperson. He was on Fox News with Bret Baier. Bret Baier asked the fairly obvious question, because we keep hearing Joe Biden every time he does a question, he's like, says something like top line or move it up, talking to the teleprompter or the teleprompter operator. He is using, it's obvious to many that he is using a teleprompter for just regular Q&As with people, which means he's providing these people with the questions, they're providing him with the answers, they're typing them in. So he was asked about this by Bret Baier. I want you to listen how T.J. Ducklow kind of dances around the question. Cut five.
Has Joe Biden ever used a teleprompter during local interviews or to answer Q&A with supporters?
Bret, we are not going to engage. This is straight from the Trump campaign's talking points.
But yeah, they're using it.
And what it does, Bret, is it's trying to distract the American people.
They're using it. They talk about it every day. Can you say yes or no?
That's because they talk about it every day, Bret, because they don't have a coherent strategy.
Well, you have an answer. Yes or no?
Bret, they talk about it every day because they don't have a coherent argument for why Donald Trump deserves re-election, deserves four more years. We know that he lied to the American people. We know that he has not shown leadership during this crisis, and they are desperate to throw anything they can against the wall to try to distract from that fact.
I understand, but you can't answer the question.
Bret, I am not going to allow the Trump campaign to funnel their questions through Fox News and get me to respond to that.
You know that if the answer was no, he would have said no.
Yeah, no is pretty easy response.
Yeah. Does Joe Biden use a teleprompter when he's doing Q&As? No. Okay, move on.
Move on. And of course, the follow-up question would have been if he was honest and admitted to it,
yeah,
instead of trying to dance around it, as we just heard, would be why?
Yeah.
Why would you require your candidate who wants to be sitting in the most powerful office in the world, why would you want him, number one, to get the reporter questions in advance so that then you can type in and give the former vice president a little bit of a heads up on how to respond? It's just feeding into the speculation that the former vice president is having mental difficulties these days.
Right. Lost his fastball, as I think we would say.
Yeah, you have to wonder, Chris, what is going to happen? We're just now a couple of weeks away, I think, from the first debate. It's the end of this month. I think it's 29th, I think it is.
Yeah.
So, how is Joe Biden going to respond on the spot, live, couple of hours, these debates last, couple of hours at a time? And I think the first one, Chris Wallace, is going to be the moderator. How is he, if he can handle simple little questions on which somebody is typing the answer for him because there are no teleprompters at debates?
Yeah, I have no idea how he's going to have a debate. And again, that's assuming he even has a debate. There has been a push for a while now, weeks really, months. Where a number of people have thrown out the idea that Biden doesn't need to debate. And for instance, Joe Lockett, one of the CNN contributors, he was White House press secretary under President Bill Clinton for a few minutes back in the 90s. And Lockett wrote an op-ed that CNN, which hates Trump, published. And Mr. Lockett was of the opinion that because Biden is doing so well in the polls, and I'm not making this up, because Americans are now starting to pay attention to this election, that he does not need to damage his chances of winning by having debates. You know, Nancy Pelosi a few weeks ago said she didn't think there were going to be debates. And then she changed her tune after Biden said, no, I'm going to have a debate. The former vice president seems to think that he's going to be the fact checker on the floor, even against President Trump. But I'll tell you, it will really hurt his campaign if he comes out there and stumbles and slurs and doesn't make sense, and
you know,
he gives word salad responses.
The thing, you know.
Yeah, the thing, you know, the thing. Which, and to be honest with you, that thing seems like 100 years ago in this news cycle.
Right.
But yeah, he's. It'll be very interesting to watch. We will be here to cover it, Lord willing. For the people that want to save themselves the trouble, we'll sum it up for you in 4 minutes and 29 seconds at the top of every hour that night.
Well, a lot of people, and you kind of alluded to this a minute ago, Chris, think that somehow the Democrats will wiggle out of this.
Yeah.
One of the ways being that they'll insist on having live fact-checking. In other words, somebody will be typing in, and across the bottom of the screen, they'll be saying, no, Trump just lied about this, et cetera, which the mainstream media is doing that right now. So that's going to be very interesting to see. I know, I think Tim mentioned this last week, that it's one of his predictions is that likely they're going to try to wiggle out of this because the former vice president increasingly is having difficulty.
Yeah.
He really is.
And what's really interesting is just this morning, comedian and I guess it's MMA commentator Joe Rogan put out on his podcast, actually on Tim Kennedy's podcast, he said that he would be willing to moderate a four-hour debate. No audience, just him and President Trump and Vice President Biden sitting down. President just tweeted back, I do. He'd be interested in it. He will. Yeah. Now, I don't know that the Biden campaign is going to let him anywhere near something like that.
No. You know, it's really interesting. The president, of course, is out. He's having these big rallies, big rally in Nevada last night.
Big turnout.
When you hear about the former vice president going on the road, we saw this last week. He limits the crowd to like six people, seven people, whether it's reporters sitting in front of him in a gymnasium.
Yeah.
He did that little thing up in Wisconsin last week.
Right.
Where we had just maybe four or five people in the room.
In a circle. They're all sitting in their own circle. Circle gets the square.
Yes. And that's all he did. I think he's going down to Florida sometime this week. And I read somewhere where it's going to be one of those town halls, but there's only going to be a few people around. So he is being, now all politicians to a certain extent are managed. They have advisors.
Except for Trump, I think.
Except for Trump. I would not want to be attempting to manage President Trump. He's going to do his.
You just say, well, I tried.
Well, I tried. And that's about it.
You should hear his people, Vice President Biden's people, shooing away reporters when they start to ask questions. Okay, we're done. Let everybody leave. We're going. Yeah. Everybody out. Everybody out. They will not let him talk.
As opposed to President Trump. When I think he really doesn't have to do this, he goes out there.
Yeah.
You know, last week when the, I guess it was the Atlantic article came out, and then there was the Woodward.
No relation.
No relation that came out. The president came right out and faced the reporters there in the briefing room in Washington. This is a president who is not afraid of the media and not afraid of assessing what he thinks of the media on a fairly daily basis. All right, Steve, time, I think, for one more story.
All right, let me see what I can do here. Let's talk about the COVID thing. We talked a little bit about this before, and let's talk about this whole Bob Woodward thing, because, and it's Uncle Bob to Chris, but not really.
I have an autographed picture of him signed by Bernstein.
So I want you to hear what happens when someone in the mainstream media pushes back against the narrative. Peter Navarro, who's, I don't know if he's officially with the campaign, but he certainly is an apologist for and a fan of the president, was on with Jake Tapper. And Jake Tapper...
That's CNN?
That's CNN.
Yeah.
And they were talking about this Bernstein claim or the audio that said that Trump lied is what the narrative is. He lied about the COVID Woodward claim.
Yeah.
That he lied about the COVID pandemic to the American people. Well, Peter Navarro pushed back a little bit on this. Look at how he was treated. Cut six.
You can't have it both ways, Jake. You simply
can't. I'm not trying to have it both
ways. In February, nobody knew. No, nobody knew. Not the president.
He's
not
you,
not Nancy Pelosi, not Bill de Blasio.
He knew it was deadlier than the flu, and he was lying to the American people 2 weeks later.
Jake, you're cherry picking.
I'm not cherry picking.
But you can say, look, I think all of this is asked and answered, Jake. Look, here's the thing.
He was not honest with the American people.
You're
not answering the question.
You're not honest with the American people. CNN is not honest with the American people.
Okay.
CNN. You want to go there? I mean,
I said you're not answering the question. Here's the thing. Thank you, Peter Navarro. We just played tape. You didn't answer the question.
No, you can't say that.
You didn't answer the question. No, you didn't.
Repeatedly, Jake. You just didn't like the
Peter Navarro, thank you so much. I appreciate your time today. Thank you so much. And I would just like to remind the American people watching
that
the United States.
They just cut him off. They just shut his microphone down and cut him off.
I don't know why Trump people even bother to go on these programs. Now, it was interesting just a few weeks ago, the Attorney General of the United States went on with Wolf Blitzer.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Chris, you may remember that, but I don't care who you are. You better be careful about trying to take on the Attorney General William Barr in any kind of debate. Because he knows his stuff, and he has his stats down.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, Wolf Blitzer, at one point, I believe the Attorney General just started chuckling at the various questions, like laughing at him in his face on the air with millions of people watching.
Yeah. I think, Steve, the American people, again, are catching on to the extreme bias of the left, and I think the American people, and the ratings show this, there is a reason why the Fox ratings they are trouncing everybody, the mainstream networks, the CNNs, the MSNBCs. Mm-hmm. At least Fox, I will give them credit, they make an attempt to have people on from Democrats, Republicans, to give a point of view. What is it, Outnumbered, which is the program that's on each day at noon.
Mm-hmm.
They usually, if not always, have a Juan Williams or...
The Five has one every day?
Every day, so... At least they give a voice to the other side. But when it comes to CNN, I mean, it is basically sold its journalistic soul to the devil.
No, we've lost all objectivity, and they've even admitted it. The New York Times, I think, has gone out and said, we can't afford to be neutral in this. There's too much at stake, they say.
Yeah.
They really do believe that Trump is an evil man. We've talked a little bit about evil.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen evil in this country. Not, you know, recently we saw evil in L.A. County when the sheriff's deputies were attempted to be assassinated. Mm-hmm. That's evil.
Mm-hmm.
What the president has done, there's no rational person. You might disagree with him. You might say he's rude. You might say he's intemperate. You might disagree with every single one of his policies, but you can't say he's evil. But that's where they have come down. This media has.
Yeah.
They refuse to be even polite to the man.
I think the American people, Chris, are catching on to this, and the ratings are one proof that they're just turning these media outlets off. And if they can't be fair, the American people just want fairness, I believe. They want to hear from both sides. Stop treating the American people like they need to be led all the time to a conclusion by these media people. They just want to hear what candidate A is saying. They want to hear what candidate B is saying. And they're saying we're intelligent enough to make up our own minds on this. We don't need to be led to it. And we're quite offended by the fact that you're trying to tell us to believe one thing and basically treat us like idiots if we don't agree with you. Mm-hmm. Attempt to and corner that. Hey, listen, man, good to be with you today. Speaking of good, solid programming, much more ahead here on American Family Radio throughout the day. Want to remind you once again, onenewsnow.com. Go to that website right now. Go to the top, and you can sign up for our daily news brief, where you can read at your leisure in the afternoon and the evening the major stories of the day told to you from a Christian perspective. Go there, onenewsnow.com. Great to be with you. Lord willing, we'll see you again tomorrow right here on Today's Issues. Bye for now.